And here we are again, ladies and gentlemen, back. Back by popular or unpopular demand, whichever the case may be. You are listening to the Liberty Hour on this fine Saturday morning in the United States of America, or wherever you may happen to be listening on the Internet. We welcome everybody to the show, found here on republicbroadcasting.org. As usual, this is one of your hosts, Mark Glenn Cubb, reporter with American Free Press newspaper. Please check it out on the Internet at AmericanFreePress.net. And along with me is my good friend Phil Turney, war hero and survivor of Israel's deliberate, premeditated attack on the USS Liberty 41 years ago that led to the deaths, the executions, actually is the better word for it, of 34 brave American men who have, as of yet to this day, to receive the justice that they deserve for what was an act of war. We will be having some guests on for the first hour, and then the second hour, of course, we're going to open up to you, our good listeners, to talk about whatever you feel like talking about. Of course, a lot of stuff in the news, so we'll probably have to wait until the second hour to cover because we have two very important authors who are going to be on with us. Very excited to hear what they have to say about a new book that the two of them have written entitled Clash of the Gods. That basically is a fictional, non-fictional account of what is going on in the Middle East with regards to the war, how it all figures into what is going on in the United States and throughout the world. So anyway, we will be bringing them up after Phil's dedication. Phil, are you with us?
How are you doing today?
There he is. Okay. How are you doing, yeah. Phil?
Very good. Thanks, Mark.
Can you hear me all right? I've got this new headphone thing, and I don't know if people are even listening to me out there.
I can hear you well, Mark. I hope everybody else can. Maybe Manny can give you a little bit better idea, but you sound great to me.
Phil, what's going on out there in the world? It seems like there's been a real upset in the news this week with regards to Illinois governor Blagojevich. He has been, surprise, surprise, he has been accused of corruption. Now, can this be that a member of any governing body in the United States could be accused of such a thing, of trying to sell the vacant seat, a seat that has been vacated by the election of Barack Obama, that he was trying to sell this to the highest bidder, and now it seems as if Obama's chief of staff, Rahm Israel Emanuel, may actually be in the center of all this. Can this possibly be?
Oh, my goodness. I think you're absolutely right. And, Jesse Jackson's son, he is sitting on the hot seat right now. He said he's fighting for his life. If you watched that article last night on TV, he was raising money for Bajanovich for maybe possibly paying him off for that seat. Who knows? But the tentacles do reach to Emanuel. And they are hiding him. He hasn't been out seen in public since.
Yeah, this does not augur well for this upcoming administration of change. You know, I'm not one of these types, Phil, to say I told you so. But everybody, my friends and associates who were kind of upbeat and hopeful about Obama being elected, that maybe this was going to signal some kind of change in the way business is done in America. Maybe this means that we're going to pull out of the Middle East and we're going to start putting America first instead of the interests of a foreign country. I said, uh-uh, folks. All you have to do is go back and look at his speech to AIPAC in June. Anyway, there's that music indicating we're going to our first break. When we come back, Phil will do his dedication, and then we will be bringing up our guest. So everybody stay tuned.
Hi, this is Tommy John. I may not be pitching for the major leagues anymore, but that doesn't mean I don't like to stay active. But like you, I get those pesky joint pains that come with age. So I take GoFlex. GoFlex is the 1-2 punch to knock out pain. It has an FDA-approved cream to quickly relieve joint pain. and a doctor-approved vitamin that will guard your mobility and flexibility. So if you're suffering from pains associated with arthritis or the aches that come with age, GoFlex will help you. I know firsthand what pain is like. Years ago, they did a surgery on my arm so famous that they named it after me, the Tommy John surgery. Today, I don't let joint pain slow me down, and neither should you. If you're suffering from minor aches and pains, even the kind associated with arthritis, try GoFlex, risk-free. Thanks to GoFlex, even at my age, I can still throw batting practice.
To order GoFlex risk-free, dial 800-362-5848. That's 800-362-5848. 800-362-5848.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Deep in the Brazilian rainforest of the Amazon grows the acai berry. Considered to be one of nature's most complete and healthy foods, the acai berry is loaded with antioxidants, amino acids, essential omegas, fibers, phytonutrients, and protein. A superfood? Yes. YourLivingFruit.com now brings the acai product, the timing, the company, the opportunity, and the cause to you. Some of the health benefits associated with the acai berry are increase in sustained energy, help with cholesterol management, improvement of digestive system, strengthening immune system, and more. Acai berry boasts 10 times the antioxidant benefits of grapes and twice that of blueberries. Are acai berry health benefits right for you? Is the opportunity right for you? Find out at YourLivingFruit.com. YourLivingFruit.com will show you the remarkable and continually documented health benefits of the acai berry. Visit YourLivingFruit.com. That's YourLivingFruit.com.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go. Another Saturday morning with Liberty Hour. Thank you very much for being with us. Mark and I certainly enjoy being here with you every Saturday. It's a pleasure for us to be with you and to have you out there listening and to take part in this great show of freedom of speech. And I also want to thank John Stadtmiller and RBN and Manny and his whole crew for the great job they do and for giving us a chance to voice our opinions of free speech and what we think and how we feel about the USS Liberty and many other subjects that we go over on this program. But as I said before, RBN is the Freedom of Speech Network, and there's nothing else out there like it other than American Free Press newspaper, which Mark writes for on a weekly basis, and you must get that newspaper if you want to get the truth. Mark always has great articles in there, as well as other people. As you know, ladies and gentlemen, this show is dedicated to the 34 men that were slaughtered June 8, 1967 by the government of Israel, and the 174 wounded, and the other men aboard the ship that were mentally wounded that nobody even talks about. And this show has done a lot to help a lot of survivors. They listen to this show, and they thank me that we're on the air, and I get emails from other people that were very, very glad that we're on the air, getting the word out. And it makes us proud, you know, to be Americans to do this. But it doesn't make me proud that our government is covering up the murder of my shipmates that they've been doing for the last 41 years plus. And the truth must come out. And we're working hard to get that done as we speak. And this radio station goes miles and miles and miles to get that done. So we appreciate you listening. We need your support. We need you to write Congress. We need you to call Congress. Do all you can to help get the truth out. Because, ladies and gentlemen, as I've said before, when Israel attacked our ship, they not only attacked us, they attacked the United States of America. It was an act of war against a flagship in international waters. There's over 800 cannon rocket holes in the ship, thousands of 50 caliber armor piercing bullets, napalm burning us up, and a torpedo that hit us in the starboard side, ripping a hole approximately 40 by 40 foot in the ship, almost sinking us. It picked the ship completely up out of the water and shook us back down into the water. And the ship started listing to the starboard side, and as we put over our life rafts to abandon ship, the Israeli torpedo gunmen would have none of that. They shot our life rafts out of the water and took one aboard their raft as a trophy, I suppose. I heard it was in a museum in Israel as a trophy for their kills of their American friends. So take that as it be, ladies and gentlemen. This was no mistaken identity. It was just cold-blooded murder, and nobody should be able to get by with cold-blood murder, especially Israel. They need to be held accountable for their crimes. Today I want to talk about a particular shipmate. His name is Philip Taitihiki. Philip was a communications technician, and we worked out together. We lifted weights a lot, and I got to know Phil real good. And I used to pick at him all the time, you know, say, "Hey, Phil, what's going on down there? What do you guys do?" And, he never would give me any information. He says, "Hey, you might be an agent. I can't tell you nothing." And I never really did quite get what he meant by agent, but I know what he meant now, either CIA agent or a national security agent aboard there, seeing if anybody was talking about what they were doing back down there. But Phil would never even tell me where he worked. There were R branches, A branches, all kinds of different branches, different divisions of people that did the works of the government, the top secret stuff that anybody could do on this earth. They were doing it. But anyway, Phil, as I said, he was one of the nicest guys in the world. I mean, just a wonderful, good-looking man, had everything in the world to live for. And he was struck down at a young age, about 20 years old. I met his sister about 10 years ago at a reunion, and she was just still heartbroken. She could barely even talk because of losing her brother in that fashion and the way the government treated her and her family. It's just a terrible shame. And I don't know how we're going to fix this, America, but we're going to have to. These people can't get by with murdering people and destroying families and no repercussions. Also, ladies and gentlemen, I want to talk a little bit about the people that have died for us in the last 7 to 8 years. Over 5,000 people that have been killed are Americans, men and women, in Afghanistan and Iraq. And they're fighting these wars all for the sake of Israel. So let's not forget those fighting men and women then and now, especially this time of year. Let's pray for them. And if we could, let's take a few moments and say a small prayer for these people, and let's just take a few moments right now and do that. And so let's just be quiet a second, okay? Thank you. Thank you very much, and God bless those men and women and the men aboard the USS Liberty, and let's all work hard to get this straightened out where these lives have not been taken in vain. I also want to bring up something about a website called change.org. Change.org. You need to go to this website and sign up and give your ideas and vote, because this is going to be sent to the Congress, and a friend of the USS Liberty and survivor, Ron Kuchel, is the webmaster of this site. It's change.org. Please go to it. We need your votes. We need your opinions badly. So don't forget, please, change.org. And do this for the USS Liberty crew. We need you very, very badly. So please help us out there, RBN listeners, and get your neighbors, your friends, mom and dad, brothers and sisters to help us out. With Mark, with that being said, I think I'm done. Please go ahead, sir.
All right. I just want to make one quick comment, Phil, about that very moving section there of the program. You know, it was actually hearing cats for the first time when I was about, 5 or 6 years old. We had a cemetery near our home when I was growing up, and I can remember on Memorial Day, these soldiers coming, they wore dark, I think it was their Class B uniforms. I think that would be the dark blue one. And I can remember them firing their guns in the air and hearing the trumpet, and it had made such an impression on me. This was really, if people were to ask me where my interest and for American history and my love for American history and for our country began, it really was on that day when my mom explained to me what this ceremony was about. And just seeing the solemnity of it and the order and everything, this really was the day I fell in love with America. And, you know, when I was at the reunion with you fellas, about a year and a half ago, Phil, and we went to Arlington, and then we went to the U.S. Naval Memorial in downtown D.C. You'll remember that that they read off the names of the 34 Americans who had been killed by Israel when the USS Liberty was attacked, and they rang the big bell after each name, and then they played taps, and then Gary Brummett, and some other young lady, I can't remember who it was, but Gary Brummett, who was president of the LV at the time, they laid a wreath at the statue of the sailor, the U.S. sailor. And it was, you know, the only other thing I can remember being as memorable and as moving as that has been at the birth of my each of my kids. And I would just encourage the people out there listening to this thing, remember these men. Remember their families. You know, this attack was no less an act of war. It was no less serious than what happened to the United States when Pearl Harbor was attacked. You know, there were all kinds of celebrations that took place all across the country. Not celebrations, but I would say memorial services that took place this past week, commemorating the 1,000-plus men the United States lost when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. And yet nothing has been done except for ridicule and snide remarks and whatnot on the various blogs and whatnot by people who put the interests of Israel ahead of the interests of the United States. You know, I get on the Internet and I look at the websites and the blogs where the USS Liberty is being discussed, and it is absolutely sickening to see the kinds of remarks that are made by some of these people, denigrating the Americans who were killed that day, denigrating the survivors, saying that they got what they deserved. I tell you, I don't want to blow a gasket, especially this early in the morning, but to see this kind of thing take place, if it had been any Arab nation that had done that, the United States would have turned that country into a parking lot.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have extracted them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect, that yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartivite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
The headlines are clear. The worldwide economic collapse is here. The military is being positioned for martial law. The mark of the beast is at hand. Governments are calling for a new world cashless economic system. Having a long-term food solution is your only hope to stay free. Now, Survivalist Seeds introduces their Escape the Beast Kit. 24 varieties of all-natural, non-genetically modified heirloom seeds. For true patriots and homesteaders wanting food insurance. That's over 5 pounds of rare historic seeds for a penny per seed. 15,000 seeds that will feed a family healthy food for 7 years. Big John Lipscomb, host of Don't Tread on Me, is including an instructional DVD that will teach you how to earn big money selling the produce from his incredible heirloom seeds back to him, restaurants, and small delis. Don't buy from copycats. Their fancy packaging is not free. Order today before it's too late. Survivalistseeds.com. That's survivalistseeds.com. A long-term food solution.
Take a stand for health. Life Change Tea. We ship worldwide. France, Germany, London, Australia, Finland, and more. Join the thousands that are making the step for a healthy body. Flush out toxins. Lower blood sugar levels. Annihilate acid reflux. Lose weight. You can do it. It's time for change. It's time for health. Grab life. Turn from death. The chemicals in the air will only get worse. Clean your body now with Life Change Tea. Order online, getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or call us. Friendly operators are standing by. 928-308-0408. You've heard it. 928-308-0408. Getthetea.com. It works.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen, wrapping up already the first half hour of today's show. As promised, we have two very important guests on with us. They are authors of the new book, Clash of the Gods, which you can find at www.clashofthegods.com. And they are Jonathan Slevin and Charles Sutherland. Now, what makes this book, I guess what you want to say, somewhat different from some of the other books that have been written, particularly since 9/11, is that this is kind of a non-fictional work of fiction. Of course, the characters are fictional. The storyline itself is fictional, but it basically is based on real-world events. And having said that, I'd like to bring up our two guests and kind of give them an opportunity to just introduce themselves and to talk about the premise of the book. Mr. Slevin, are you with us?
Yes, right here. Thank you.
And Mr. Sutherland?
Yes, I am. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming on. Mr. Slevin, why don't you give us a rundown as to who you and your co-author are, and tell us a little bit about the book.
Yeah, I'd be delighted. We're both live in the Washington, D.C. area. First, for myself, I've been here much of my professional life, and my career has spanned newspaper journalism, investigative journalism, written a number of nonfiction books, run a couple of companies, you know, both domestic and internationally. And currently I'm at the Washington Times, which is a newspaper and multimedia company, in a senior executive position. And maybe, Charles, you can speak to yourself and about yourself, and then we can run through a little bit about the book.
All right. This is Charles. I've been an international businessman for about 30 years. I've been all around the world many, many times, been to about 60 countries. I've spent many months and weeks and months in the Middle East, in Israel, Palestine, many of the Arab countries and Muslim countries. I've written several books and been in business and set up philanthropic organizations in a number of countries, including the Middle East and the Soviet Union. And basically, I'm focusing right now on writing to disseminate some of the information which I've learned over the course of these decades.
And then on the second part of the question, Clash of the Gods is, if it's a book that we put in a fictional context, we started it 2.5 years ago, or almost 3 years ago. It was just released on November 1st. It's, again, available at Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble and other places. And the reason, and it's 95% factual, both based upon historical and contemporary information, real CIA operations, which many are not known beyond the agency yet. You know, we're not disclosing something that's putting anybody in danger or anything of that sort. But the reason for writing it as a novel is that there are many things you can say in a novel that we consider to be truthful that both you might have more difficulty in saying or not be effective in saying in a nonfiction context. And then also, to the extent that we created a novel that, and people are telling us this, but to the extent we created a novel that's a compelling read, that's a spy adventure novel with a lot of information in it, then people are drawn to it more, a larger audience than might otherwise read a nonfiction book. Just to add to that, our reason for starting the novel was because the U.S. and Israel were drawing up plans to attack Iran, and we did not think that was a particularly good idea to understate it. And so that was, we were together one night and said, you know, what can we, two people, do about that? And this is our effort in that respect.
Mm-hmm. Now, the title, Clash of the Gods, unless I'm reading it wrong, what we're talking about here is the war, at least as it appears on the front pages of the various media outlets, is the war between the three Abrahamic religions originating in the Middle East. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
And what is the basic premise of this this thesis that the three religions find themselves at war with each other?
Well, basically, religions by definition are inherently intolerant because each of the religions think they are the one true faith, right? And whether it's the chosen people of God or whether it's the elect of God and the Christians or whether it's the people of Allah. And so many of the religions have a tolerance over the centuries. Interestingly, in my particular view, the more tolerant one is Islam because they do not have doctrines and dogmas like Christianity does, or they don't have the attitude that the chosen people, the Israelis, I'm sorry, the Jewish religion has. But basically, in the contemporary context, you have a country called Israel, which is Jewish, and you have a major group of countries in the Middle East, which are Muslim, some Arab, some Muslim, which control a major percentage of the world's oil. Then you have the United States, which is dominated by Christians, and which has called itself a Christian country, actually, and is dominated by Christians, certainly during the last 8 years with George Bush in office. And a lot of evangelical Christians dominate the area. And so you have a situation where if Israel were any other type of a country, the United States would be the first one to say Israel should not do these things, these human rights violations of the Palestinians and so forth. But because there's a religious context there, the Judeo-Christian tradition, the American Christians, certainly the evangelical Christians and many of the other ones, feel compelled.
Mr. Slevin, I'm sorry to interrupt. We've got to go to a quick break. We'll be right back, folks. Everybody stay tuned. You don't want to miss this very interesting conversation. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, this is Tommy John. I may not be pitching for the major leagues anymore, but that doesn't mean I don't like to stay active. But like you, I get those pesky joint pains that come with age. So I take GoFlex. GoFlex is the 1-2 punch to knock out pain. It has an FDA-approved cream to quickly relieve joint pain and a doctor-approved vitamin that will guard your mobility and flexibility. So if you're suffering from pains associated with arthritis or the aches that come with age, GoFlex will help you. I know firsthand what pain is like. Years ago, they did a surgery on my arm so famous that they named it after me, the Tommy John surgery. Today, I don't let joint pain slow me down, and neither should you. If you're suffering from minor aches and pains, even the kind associated with arthritis, try GoFlex, risk-free. Thanks to GoFlex, even at my age, I can still throw batting practice.
To order GoFlex risk-free, dial 800-362-5848. That's 800-362-5848. 800-362-5848.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Deep in the Brazilian rainforest of the Amazon grows the acai berry. Considered to be one of nature's most complete and healthy foods, the acai berry is loaded with antioxidants, amino acids, essential omegas, fibers, phytonutrients, and protein. A superfood? Yes. YourLivingFruit.com now brings the acai product, the timing, the company, the opportunity, and the cause to you. Some of the health benefits associated with the acai berry are increase in sustained energy, help with cholesterol management, improvement of digestive system, strengthening immune system, and more. Acai berry boasts 10 times the antioxidant benefits of grapes and twice that of blueberries. Are acai berry health benefits right for you? Is the opportunity right for you? Find out at YourLivingFruit.com. YourLivingFruit.com will show you the remarkable and continually documented health benefits of the acai berry. Visit YourLivingFruit.com. That's YourLivingFruit.com.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen, for today's program. We've already started off on a particularly fascinating note, I would say, with our two guests, authors Jonathan Slevin and Charles Sutherland, who have co-written this book, Clash of the Gods. Now, Mr. Slevin, you said something very interesting before I bring you back in to finish your thoughts. You said something very interesting about the chosen people that the Jewish faith teaches in a dogmatic way, this idea that there's this one small group of people who are quote-unquote chosen. Now, I find this particularly interesting because, unless I'm mistaken, the last part of your last name, Levin, is a Jewish name. Are you of Jewish descent?
My family name going back, and, of course, as in many families, there's different stories about how it changed, but it was Lezhevsky. So on my father's side, my father's Jewish, my mother's not. Mm-hmm. But on my father's side, the name was Slezhevsky, and then there's different stories about how it got changed to Slevin. So it was Lithuanian Polish.
Okay. The next question I have for you now, you were talking about the intolerant nature, or rather what you said was that of the three religions in the area, that Islam is the more tolerant. That with the Jewish religion, you have the chosen people. With the Christian religion, you have the elect. And that you found Islam to be the more tolerant, which I would agree with you on that fact. It is the more tolerant of the three. But interestingly enough, this is not what we are told 25 hours a day out of 24 given hours about the religion of Islam. So are we being handed a defective bill of goods with how Islam is depicted in this country?
I think we are. If and I can address that in a moment. Let me finish my thought, if I may,
sure.
On what we were talking about before. The reason why it's called the Clash of the Gods is because the three religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, are about to clash, are clashing. And the U.S. relationship to Israel is inherently and essentially a religious relationship. There's no serious geopolitical reason why the United States would alienate a group of Muslim countries, particularly when they control over half the world's oil, in favor of a little country which has 6 million people, and it has a history of violating human rights and a history of attacking its neighbors every decade since it was first formed. In fact, since it was first formed in 1948, it was 8 years later that Israel attacked the attacked Egypt and tried to grab the Suez Canal. Mm-hmm. Therefore, the relationship is essentially a religious one between the United States and Israel, and that creates an antagonism with Islam, which is a rising, you know, a rising group of people these days. There are over a billion half Muslims in the world right now, and they are now they believe themselves to be on the march. And certainly there are a lot of, now addressing your current question, certainly there are a lot of intolerant Islamics. I mean, certainly we know that there are Shiites and Sunnis are the two main groups, Sunnis being 90% and Shiites about 10%. And then within that, those groups, there are Sufis and there are Ijwalis and several other groups that are religiously intolerant. But as a whole, the Islamic faith is a political social faith. The Quran does not have doctrines and dogmas that you go to hell if you don't obey them. The Quran is essentially describing a good social behavior and how you should conduct yourself. And it's not the theological treatise the way the Christians are and the way the Jewish faith is.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. I had to mention that because, you know, I myself come from a Middle Eastern background. My mom's family is Lebanese, and I grew up Christian, and spent a lot of time around Middle Easterners and around Muslims, very good friends with many Muslims in college and whatnot. And I knew that when 9/11 happened and what we were being told, I knew that this was not true, at least what was being given to us, that they were giving it to us in half-truths. And so this really has been something of particular interest to me, the way that they have been able to just drag the American evangelical base in this country down into the gutter of genocide and all of the things that we have been lectured about for the last 60 years with regards to bigotry and intolerance. It seems as if the American people, at least on the religious right, have learned nothing of this. They beat their breasts, you know, penitently over what was done to the Jews by Hitler during World War II. But now they're willing to do it all over again. Instead of killing 6 million, they're willing to kill 1.5 billion. So I want to applaud both of you gentlemen for bringing this theme up, because I think it really is the theme of the 21st century that Americans and really Westerners in general are going to have to confront if we are going to live in peace with these people. Phil, do you have any comments or questions for them?
Yeah, I do. Thank you, gentlemen, for being on the show. Thank you very much. It's an honor to have you on, and I'm glad that James Morris got a hold of you, because I really want to get your book, by the way. I'll order it and read it. But, again, thank you very much for coming on. And as you know, I'm a USS Liberty survivor. And, gentlemen, either one of you can answer this, if you would, please. It seems to me that through what I see through my eyes, that the state of Israel, the government of Israel, keeps the United States off balance or on a war footing at all times. Gentlemen, do you see or do you agree with that, my thoughts?
I would, go ahead, Charles, sure.
I would say, I think that's correct. I think Israel, I generally refer to Israel as a military democracy, because it is a democracy, technically speaking, but the generals run the country and most of the leaders are all generals or colonels. And I've been to Israel many, many times, about 40 or 50 times, and some of these people are friends of mine, including some of the generals. Over the years, we've been friends, and some of them are now retired and living in other countries. But in order to survive, Israel has to have some kind of a military tension, because Israel, right now even, is facing a demographic disaster. And by the Islamic people, the Muslims and Palestinians for sure, have about 5.6 kids per family. The Israeli Jews have about 1.7 kids per family. So by the year 2025, there are going to be more Palestinians than Jews in the so-called Jewish state. And if it maintains this pretense that it's a democracy, it's going to be an absolute disaster. So that's one of the reasons why Israel wants to get rid of the Palestinians the same way they got rid of them when they created the country. They created what they call the Nakba, the Arabic word for catastrophe, in which they drove 800,000 Palestinians off of the lands and blew up about over 500 of their towns and villages in order to create room for the Zionist Jews. And they continue to try to get rid of these Palestinians. And even now when they attack other countries, for example, last year when they bombed Lebanon for 30 days with the help of George Bush, or at least with the acquiescence of George Bush, while they were doing that and while the world was focused on Lebanon, the Israelis were doing other things to the Palestinians, shutting off the electricity, closing down this and closing down that. And the only way Israel can survive as a country economically is to have support from other countries. The name used to be, originally it was Europe, and then it became the United States, to provide the economic lifeline. Because as a nation itself, Israel cannot economically survive. It has to be in a military posture in order to justify getting money from other countries. Otherwise, it would be bankrupt, which it technically is right now. And because the U.S. is its principal lifeline, they play on their religious card to keep the U.S. on it, more or less a war footing in the Middle East, and they have systematically alienated America's Muslim allies in the Middle East, and then we maintain good relationships with many of them because we have such strong economic ties, but not because of any other reason, because Israel wants to make sure that we do not have any good relationships with any of their surrounding neighbors because they regard them as enemies and they want some of that territory.
I don't mean to interrupt, but I have a couple questions for you, gentlemen. The first is going back to what you talked about. Israel has to be kind of in a military posture all the time. This is a theory that I've kind of bantered around in talking with people, which is true. I believe that Israel has to have war, or at least the threat of war, all of the time in order to hold together what is an organically fractured society. Now, the question I'm going to ask here, it may seem a little bit overly theoretical, but it seems to me as if this entire fiasco, this entire experiment in bringing this thing to life known as the Jewish state, that it is rooted in the past. And in the past, I mean in antiquity of at least 4,000 years ago. It seems as if what they're trying to do by recreating this thing is that they want to go back to the glory days of Moses and Joshua and some of the old warrior prophets of the Old Testament who were always out smiting this group or smiting that group. After all, you go through and you read the Old Testament, and it really is, at least for the first five books, it is just a testimony of genocide and bloodshed of the non-Israelite people living in the Promised Land. So what I would ask the two of you, based upon your travels and your studies, Is this the ethos that is guiding this whole thing? And if indeed this is the ethos guiding it, where is it all going to go? Because it seems to me as if the architects of this experiment, that they have this very irrational mindset, and they are of the stripe that if they can't pull this thing off, that they would be willing to take the world down with them. In the event that their experiment fails?
Well, I would, you've just now significantly outlined the theme of Clash of the Gods.
Okay.
I was, on a tour in Israel, this was very, made quite an impression. This gentleman said there was a little altercation. It was literally a tour, on a business trip. And this one gentleman said is a Christian community in Israel that had moved there from Germany based upon their belief, in Israel as the Holy Land and the preparation for the second coming of the Messiah. And he said, we meaning Israel, Israelis, of whom he was now, a bit of a citizen, We have the ability to look evil in the face and deal with it and not quake. And the world is very much defined by many, you know, as the chosen people, and then, you know, the whole psychology of a world against the chosen people, and let us never, ever forget not to look at the Holocaust. Of course, let's not talk about the Christians that were killed by Hitler and so forth and so on. So, so there is, yes, you know, a deep psychology, of course, in the Israeli, you know, mind and psyche, and then it plays itself out, you know, in, you know, a very intelligent group of people who have formed this strategic special relationship with the United States, and in Clash of the Gods, we have an evangelical president who is, you know, blindly supportive of Israel, and their dynamics between him and the CIA director, the Secretary of State, the head of the Defense Department, and DIA, and a few others domestically, and then other countries, where, I mean, some share his views and some don't, but ultimately they see that if they follow his course, he's going to bring down, he's going to, with Israel being the tail wagging the dog, he's going to destroy the world.
If I may add to that, I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead, go ahead.
If I may add to that, theme, we all know what Masada is when the 973 Hebrews committed suicide rather than surrender to the Romans. When the Israelis graduate from their army, finish their training, go in the army, they go to Masada, and they are told they may have to die for Israel and for their faith. And I refer to it, we refer to it now as a nuclear Masada complex, that they that they may have to not only die, but destroy their country and destroy other people for their faith. And I think on the general theme, what you're describing, what I wouldn't necessarily go, yes, it does go back to Joshua and Moses and everyone, but inherently the Hebrew faith is not, is beyond intolerance. It's a segregationist faith, right? I mean, it's a chosen people of God, no less. Which you know, was, in fact, even among the Semites, we have the expression which we play into the propaganda, anti-Semitic, but there are over 250 million Semites in the world, and the Hebrews and their descendants are less than 5% of them. So they're the chosen of the Semites, and they're the chosen people of God. So they believe that they are entitled to whatever they're entitled to, and they have never had territorial expansion like other countries. They don't proselytize like the Christians do, or try to spread the faith like the Islamics do, because they think they're special, right? And they think everyone has to admit that they are the special people of God, and they don't want other people to becoming Jews like the Christians want people to become Christians, because they think there are a separate, specific race who is superior to everybody. And that's inherent in their philosophy.
Fascinating. Gentlemen, even though I've only scanned the book, I've got to tell you that just from this conversation that we've had in the last 30 minutes or so, I believe that this may be one of the most important books that people can get their hands on these days. Why don't you tell everybody out there how they can get hold of a copy of your book?
Sure, I'd be delighted, and thank you. Well, it's available in bookstores, Barnes & Noble, you know, certainly is a place to receive to get it on Amazon.com. We have our own website, but you know, to go to Amazon.com or Barnes and Noble is the best place to purchase the book. We're exhibiting at the American Library Association Midwinter event in January. So whereas a person could go to a library and request it, it's not on the shelves of libraries yet, and we hope from this this and others, you know, marketing efforts that the publisher is doing, that it'll start to get into the libraries, and so it's easily available.
Okay. Now we're going to be going to a break in just a minute, and we do have some callers who would like to speak with you. Are you gentlemen available to stay on for at least a portion of the next hour?
Oh, sure. Certainly. And just to mention quickly, and with Phil here, I have a one paragraph passage that we might read if there's interest when we come back at some point after the questions that shows how we wrote about the U.S. liberty.
Okay. Let's see. Manny, how many seconds before the break here? Just send me a text message here. Okay. Not getting in yet.
Okay.
Now, 15 seconds until the break. Okay, I ask and I receive. Okay, so we're going to be going to the break here in just a minute, and gosh, I'm just kind of speechless here at the just even the short discussion that we've had here, fellas, about the theme of this book. Anyway, we're going to be going to the break here, and when we come back, we will continue this fascinating discussion. Everybody stay tuned. We will be right back.
Hi, this is Tommy John. I may not be pitching for the major leagues anymore, but that doesn't mean I don't like to stay active. But like you, I get those pesky joint pains that come with age. So I take GoFlex. GoFlex is the 1-2 punch to knock out pain. It has an FDA-approved cream to quickly relieve joint pain and a doctor-approved vitamin that will guard your mobility and flexibility. So if you're suffering from pains associated with arthritis or the aches that come with age, GoFlex will help you. I know firsthand what pain is like. Years ago, they did a surgery on my arm so famous that they named it after me, the Tommy John surgery. Today, I don't let joint pain slow me down, and neither should you. If you're suffering from minor aches and pains, even the kind associated with arthritis, try GoFlex, risk-free. Thanks to GoFlex, even at my age, I can still throw batting practice.
To order GoFlex risk-free, dial 800-362-5848. That's 800-362-5848. 800-362-5848.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees. I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johngalea.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264 and johngalia.com.
The last few minutes of the first hour of the Liberty Hour. And again, gentlemen, thank you very much for coming on the show. It's just outstanding to have you on. We're very, very proud that you took the time out of your day to come on the Liberty Hour. It means a whole lot to Mark and myself. And before we take any more calls, or I would like to ask you one question, and either one or both of you can answer it. With the candor and honestness of this book, gentlemen, have you guys taken any heat from the Jewish lobby or AIPAC or ADL or anything like that?
Well, the book has just recently come out, so with the heat is just around the corner, I expect. We have not received anything yet.
We had, of the several reviews that have come out, we have one in the Washington Times by Michael Schur, who ran the CIA operation against Al-Qaeda before retiring, and now he's a professor and an author from Georgetown University. And he's he's very forthright in what he says. One thing he says was one of these blurbs that authors love, which is that Clash of the Gods should be read by all members of the incoming presidential administration. It truthfully details the hell for which America is bound. Mm-hmm. And he goes and explains that. But he also has an expression, his fifth column expression, Charles, is what I'm just searching through right now, right, where he says, which is the sort of thing that, you know, he's clearly fearless. He's a Clash of the Gods, as I said, should be read by all members of the incoming administration. It details the hell for which America is bound because its leaders ignored George Washington's advice, which he referenced, which is to stay away from foreign entanglements. And the U.S. has followed a politically expedient road that has put Americans and their economy in the thrall of several foreign countries and a flamboyantly traitorous domestic fifth column, each ready to manipulate and undermine the United States if it suits their interests.
That word flamboyantly.
Yes.
I mean, it's one thing to say traitorous fifth column, but flamboyantly, that pretty much sums it up. They are fearless. They're in our faces and they say, we will do this and we will do that and there's nothing that you can say or do about it.
When you have the votes, I mean, there, you know, many areas, but just, you know, just documented, you have the votes in any way, one day of 240 members of Congress without even starting to work or before your breakfast, then, it gives you a certain sense of power. And it's a realistic sense of power.
When Begin was in office and he needed something from President Johnson, some weapons, and President Johnson said, I don't know if we can get it through Congress. And Menachem Begin said, you take care of the Pentagon, we'll take care of Congress.
Yeah, amazing.
Gentlemen, I got a comment on that. I talked to Admiral Moore, and he told me exactly the same thing you just said right there, exactly in the same words.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, well, Admiral Moore, of course, Admiral Moore and Ambassador Peck, you know, they did everything they could along with others. As you very well know, on the U.S. liberty issue, and he was so incensed, and it's just extraordinary that a man of, you know, a genuine American hero and a man of his stature could affect nothing in terms of public opinion or even a little congressional resolution. Yeah.
Fellas, we're going to take a quick break here and then come right back and launch back into this fascinating discussion. When we come back, I want to let one of you talk about the section of your book dealing with liberty. And as I said, we will just continue on full steam ahead. Everybody stay tuned. We will be back in just a few minutes.
Can't decide what